Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. May your Labor Day be blessed. Labor Day is a tribute to Americans whose labors have contributed to the well-being of our country. But beyond celebrating what your labors are doing for our country, at CRI we want to celebrate what your labors are doing for the kingdom. The Apostle Paul exhorted the believers in Corinth, "My dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So for all that your labors mean to so many, we are grateful. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and happy Labor Day weekend to all listening in to the broadcast right now. I love that introduction. And I was thinking about Labor Day all day today. In fact, I Googled Labor Day, and when you do, the first thing that comes up is a Wikipedia entry that says Labor Day is a federal holiday in the United States of America, a holiday celebrated on the first Monday in September to honor, to recognize the American labor movement and the works and contributions of laborers to the development and to the achievements of the United States. It is the Monday of the long weekend known as Labor Day weekend. So Labor Day is a day of rest from your labors. Today, well, no one's working, except, of course, for me. I'm doing the show. Well, actually, I'm really not doing the show. I'm pre-recording the show. But at any rate, I want to say a few things about Labor Day. The first and foremost is that I'm hoping and praying that you had a great Labor Day weekend with your family members and with your friends. But what all of us ought to realize is that God gave us a Labor Day holiday long, long before the government did. That Labor Day holiday is actually found in the Bible. It's found in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. It's in chapter 5. And it is a Labor Day holiday that all of us should adhere to. Here's what Moses says about it. Perhaps you've memorized this. It's the fourth commandment, where Moses says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you to. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner that is residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest, just as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." So, our Labor Day holiday, according to God, is our Sabbath day rest, which immediately begs a question. Why do Christians rest from their labor on Sunday as opposed to on Saturday? On the first day of the week, rather than on the last day of the week? Well, the answer is encapsulated in just one word. And that word is the glorious word resurrection. In remembrance of the resurrection, the early Christian church, they actually changed the day of worship, the day of our Sabbath rest, from Saturday to Sunday. And then, within weeks, thousands of Jews willingly gave up a theological tradition that had given them their national identity. It was God Himself, God, who provided the early church with a brand new pattern of worship as a result of Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week and as a result of the Holy Spirit's descent on Pentecost Sunday. Here's a second point to keep in mind. It is Scripture itself which provides the meaning behind the symbol of the Sabbath and thus the reason for the shift in celebration from the last day of the week to the first day of the week. In Genesis, think about this. In Genesis, the Sabbath was a celebration of God's completed work in creation. After the Exodus, well, then the Sabbath expands to a celebration of God's deliverance from oppression in Egypt. And as a result of Christ's resurrection, the Sabbath's emphasis shifts once again. It becomes a celebration of the rest we have through Jesus Christ, who delivers us from sin and from the grave. For the emerging Christian church, the most dangerous snare, a snare, was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfilled the symbol of the Sabbath. Let me make one final point in this regard. If people insist on being slavishly bound to Old Testament laws, they ought to be forewarned that failing to keep the letter of the law might be hazardous to their health. Why? Well, because according to Mosaic law, anyone who labors on the Sabbath must be put to death. But as St. Paul explains, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. As such, the Sabbath was a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ and found in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So again, the point is you and I should celebrate a Labor Day holiday once a week for the rest of our lives. To do so is to honor the commandment of God, and as such, well, to be richly blessed. In fact, I was looking at how Psalm 128 weighs in on this matter. You ought to read it. It's a great psalm. Blessed are all who fear the Lord. Blessed are all who walk in His ways. You shall eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. So what is the psalmist saying? He's saying that if you honor the Lord, if you simply obey His commandments, you may well experience the ultimate bread of blessing. And that bread of blessing, well, it's sweeter in degree than the bread of charity. Perhaps another way of saying that is hard work or hard labor is better by far than a government handout. Well, there's some other things that I want to discuss in the second part of the broadcast today with respect to Labor Day. The thing that comes to mind and the thing that I want to bring to your mind is when I think about the word labor, I think about what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll talk about that again in the second part of the broadcast, but here for just a tease. He's talking about the fact that each person is going to be rewarded according to their labor. And I think we ought to think about that today on Labor Day. And do remember, as you give, your labor is not in vain. It allows us to reach out to people in a time in which truth matters more than ever because we live in a post-truth culture. So please stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Be right back with more thoughts on Labor Day.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. www.bibleanswerman.org. Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, thank you very much, Randy, and this is a special Labor Day broadcast. As I was saying in the first part of the show today, God gave us a Labor Day holiday long before the government did. Our Labor Day holiday, according to God, is our Sabbath day rest. Of course, I have some other thoughts to share with you in this half of the broadcast. And what comes to mind when I think about the word labor is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that each person is going to be rewarded according to their own labor. In other words, what we do now, what we do in this life, counts for all eternity. As St. Paul goes on to say, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid. That one is Jesus Christ. But you can build on that foundation, and you can do so either using gold, silver, and costly stones, or using wood, hay, or straw. And what you have built with will be brought to light in the resurrection. It will be revealed with fire, says St. Paul. And he goes on to say, the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what they have built survives, they will receive reward. If it's burned up, they will suffer loss. They themselves will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Here, Paul illustrates the sober reality that some Christians, I'm not talking about secularists, I'm talking about Christians. Some Christians will be resurrected with precious little to show for the time they spent on earth. They'll be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. That, of course, conjures up images of people escaping burning buildings with little more than the charred clothes upon their backs. And that will be the lot of even the most visible Christian leaders whose motives were selfish rather than selfless. Conversely, those who build selflessly upon the foundation of Christ using gold, silver, costly stones, well, they will receive enduring rewards. Indeed, a selfless Christian layperson who labors in virtual obscurity will hear the words he has longed for throughout his life. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So while deeds are our duty, not the smallest act of kindness will go without its reward. Degrees of reward in eternity involve both enlarged responsibilities as well as enhanced spiritual capacity. An experience I had many years ago aptly underscores this important biblical reality. Well, it turns out to be a golf illustration that shouldn't surprise anyone who's listened to the broadcast for any period of time. I love golf. At any rate, I received an invitation many years ago to play Cypress Point. Cypress Point is arguably the most spectacular golf course on earth. And while the invitation to play Cypress Point was free, I've seldom worked harder to prepare for anything in my life. For months, I beat my body into submission. I lifted weights. I worked on stretching exercises. I pounded thousands of golf balls, all the while dreaming of the day I would physically experience walking the fairways at Cypress Point. Well, without my strenuous preparation, I would still have experienced the same cliffside vistas, the same breathtaking views. I would still have been able to smell the fragrance of the Monterey cypresses. I would have still been able to feel the refreshing sting of salt air upon my face. All the hard work, however, added immeasurably to the experience. And that is how heaven will be. As a master musician can appreciate Mozart more than can an average music lover, so too my strenuous training allowed me to more fully appreciate the architectural nuances of Cypress Point. As phenomenal as Cypress Point is, it pales by comparison to what Paradise Restored is going to be. I spent one day at a golf haven. I'll spend an eternity in God's heaven. It stands to reason, therefore, that I would put a whole lot more labor into preparing for an eternity in heaven with God than I did for playing 18 holes of golf. And that's precisely the point that St. Paul is driving at in one of his letters to the Corinthian Christians. He's pressing the analogy of athletics when he writes, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games, well, they go into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Thus, says Paul, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I don't fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body. I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." I love what the voice from heaven in Revelation 14:13 says. "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. They will rest from their labor. For their deeds are going to follow them." This is a realistic commentary on the unity of faith and works. In other words, faith and works must never be set in opposition to one another. In fact, biblically, there's no context for the polarization of faith and works. Of course, the ecumenical councils have long settled that conundrum. And I should say, likewise have the scriptures. As such, we must see faith not as a momentary transaction, not as a punctiliar transaction, not as a point in time, but rather as a transformational way of life. Though God, through his great kindness towards us, has justified us by grace through faith, and empowered us by the Holy Spirit to give the cup of water and piece of bread to those in need, ultimately, all of that is to bring glory to God. So above all, this Labor Day holiday, remember the words of our Lord in John chapter 6. Remember those words? Do not labor for that which perishes, but rather labor for that which endures to eternal life. Or as St. James put it, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works, faith without your labor of love is dead." It is a living and active faith that saves us. So today on Labor Day, we're taking a rest from our labors. But maybe while we're resting from our labors, it's good to ponder. To ponder the reality that what we do now, what we labor for now, counts for all eternity. It's true. We're saved by God's grace. The instrument is faith. But we are working towards an eternal inheritance. Never forget that this life is but a drop in the ocean of time. Eternity is never ending. And again, what we do now will count for all eternity. So happy Labor Day. It is a joy for me to be able to do this broadcast. And I'm so grateful for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcasts. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.